time now to go around the NHL, brought to you by Herber's Auto Body. Don't trust your vehicle to an on-demand guesstimate. Herber's offers a free pre-repair inspection. Herber's Auto Body, like it never happened. Man, like it never happened. That's like a loss right now in Minnesota, because the Wild, they don't know how to lose anymore. As we are going to go to the wonderful state of Minnesota, from the St. Paul Pioneer Press beat reporter for the Wild, Dave Mizutani joins us. Dave, how you doing, man?
Good. How's it going?
Oh, well, it's not going as well as the Wild, because the only thing better than them right now are the Columbus Blue Jackets. But, man, the Wild, quite the month of December. They've reeled off 11 consecutive victories. It started with a 2-1 overtime win against the Edmonton Oilers back on December 4th, and since then, they haven't lost, and they've only allowed more than two goals in one game, and that came right before the Christmas break, a 7-4 victory over the New York Rangers. You know, the Kemper has won two games in this stretch. Devan Dubnyk, of course, has played in all the other ones, and has won nine of them. Why such a drastic, not that they were playing bad by any stretch, but, man, to be this hot all of a sudden, what's going well in Minnesota right now? Is it just the goaltending? What is it?
It's everything, and it's kind of funny, because at the beginning of the season, Coach Bruce Boudreau said, you know, I know I'm known for winning a lot of games, obviously, but it's going to take till about Christmas until everything starts to roll. And, I mean, heck, he's a genius, because right around Christmas time, they've rattled off 11 straight wins. It's really everything. It starts with Devan Dubnyk and Darcy Kemper, who has played well also in his spot starts. But Dubnyk, between the pipes, has really given this team a ton of confidence from the crease outward. You see his defenseman playing well and inspired in front of him, knowing that, you know, he's always going to have. And forwards can forecheck a lot harder, knowing that on the back end, if they, you know, pinch up a little hard, Dubnyk's going to be there to have their back as well. And everything's just starting to click. I mean, they're starting to score a little bit more than they had been earlier in the season. And Coach Boudreau said it happened after that Oilers game, after that ensuing game against the Toronto Maple Leafs. They started to rattle off wins, and this team to that point in the season had been so up and down, you know, win a game, lose a game, win a game, lose a game. But once they started to win a few in a row, he said, you know, they started to feel a little bit better, really understand his systems, understand that, hey, this is going to work, even though we've had 5 years under Mike Gill before this. Trust what I'm saying, and this is going to work. This could work as well. And you're seeing it come full circle. I mean, this team's really hot. They're winning in different ways. It's not always pretty. Last night against the Nashville Predators, it wasn't, but they still found a way to grit out a win in overtime, and really just a confident bunch right now, and it's a group to be around for sure.
Well, Dane, it's interesting. I wonder how much is the players and how much is the system you're talking about with Boudreau and him coming into things saying, look, this will take a while. The thing that jumps out to me, aside from Dubnyk, you can't circle one or two names on the whiteboard with Minnesota. You go down the list, Coyle, Staal, Granlund, Niederreiter, Zucker, Koivu, all with 20 points or more, and right back of them, Ryan Suter with 19. That's not an easy club to stop when you're talking about putting pucks in the net.
No, absolutely not. And that's something, I guess, Bruce Boudreau's always kind of been known for, rolling those four lines out. He's talked about it all year. He said, hey, if a good game to me would be all my forwards getting at least 10 minutes a game. And he's not afraid to play his fourth line, you know, only a little less than his third. But really the production from up and down the lineup has been the key to his success, aside from the goaltending, like you said. Just everyone contributions from up and down the lineup. And if you're an opposing team, you can't really scheme for anyone on this team, because – you know, if you try and shut down Erik Staal on the top line, you know, Mikko Koivu and Jason Tucker and Mikael Granlund have been just as good on the second line. And then you have equal production on the third line when that line with Erik Haula is rolling. So just a hard team to scheme against, and everything going right for this one right now from the net outward.
They're in a tough division right now. They're right on the heels of the Chicago Blackhawks with three games in hand to finish first. You mentioned that they bring in the new coach. They've got very good defense. Obviously, Devan Dubnyk is putting up absolutely ridiculous numbers in between the pipes. So if there was an area they would want to try to improve between now and the deadline, Where do you think that's going to be?
I think it's got to be, you know, everyone talks about this team. They don't have a legitimate sniper. And with the production they're getting from up and down the lineup right now, they don't need one. But they have a deep defense. And if you're looking ahead, just kind of playing kind of trade machine right now, maybe they go out and try and get a sniper at the deadline, just someone who can go out and get you a goal when you need to. All the guys that they have right now, creative scoring for sure, but, you know, not someone with just a crazy good wrist shot. Like, that's something this team's kind of always lacked over the last few years. And maybe, you know, Zach Parise's been a little down this year. He's a guy who really could score at that high rate that you kind of would need that from that sniper. But if you're thinking about making a move on the deadline, that one makes sense to me, especially with the depth you have on your decor and the depth of young players you have on your decor. But at the same time, I'm not sure Boudreaux is looking to shake this up at all, because it's working right now, and certainly getting a legitimate score would help. But I mean, I think he also likes kind of the marriage with all three lines, all four lines he has right now. And probably doesn't want to mess with the chemistry he's got.
Dane Mizutani joins us from the St. Paul Pioneer Press talking about the Minnesota Wild. It's rare in free agency, if you overpay for big term, that it really works out. But the Wild got Eric Staal on what looks right now as the bargain of free agency. He's got 29 points in 34 games. He only had 39 points in 83 games all last year between the Hurricanes and the New York Rangers. He hasn't been over 61 points since the 2011-2012 season, and is well on pace to break that. What's been going right for Eric Staal? Why has he kind of been reborn in Minnesota?
I think it's just simply he's been put in a very good situation to succeed. Bruce Boudreaux said it in the offseason. I mean, Eric Staal is their number one center right now. I mean, Mikko Koivu is certainly playing as good to be a number one center, but Staal centers that top line, and it has throughout much of the season. And whether he's playing next to guys, big-bodied forwards like Charlie Coyle or Nino Niederreiter, or, you know, Boudreaux also had him play next to guys like Zach Parise and Jason Pominville, both of those skill sets seem to complement Eric Staal well. And then you can just see it's breeding confidence out of him. I think towards the end of the Carolina Hurricanes career, and then obviously getting traded to New York last year, right around the deadline, maybe the rebuild in Carolina took a toll on him over time. And then in New York, he never really, you know, he's a center, and he was forced to play wing sometimes. The last, I guess, 2 years in Carolina, coupled with that 20-game rental in New York, people thought this guy was on the decline, but really I don't think he was, because he just simply wasn't put in a situation he can perform, you know, to the best of his abilities. You've seen that this year. Boudreaux's getting the most out of him, and shoot, $3.5 million a year for a guy, you know, well on pace for, you know, as many points as he's had in the last few years, certainly a bargain, if not the bargain of the offseason across the NHL.
Dane, you mentioned Charlie Coyle. I've had my eye on this kid for a little while. He's still only 24, career high of 42 points in the league so far. He's going to shatter that this year now. Is this a case of the young man just coming into his own right now, or is he really benefiting from the system that Boudreaux has put in place? Because I don't know if Charlie will ever be what you'd call a sniper, but, man, if he can be a 55- or 60-point player in this league, that's awful good.
Sure, and I think that's twofold. I mean, I talked to Charlie Coyle before the season, and he said, you know, it's crazy to think here in Minnesota that this kid's only 24 years old still, because he's been here for 5 years. But he said, hey, it's my time this year. I know I have to take that next step. And that was something he was really cognizant about back in October, back in September even, that he needed to take the next step in his development. But I think you've seen kind of that mentality coupled with Boudreaux using him just kind of in and around the net, in down below the goal line on attacking ends. It's really just worked well. Like you said, he's probably never going to be a guy you consider as a sniper. He's not going to sit on that left dot and pound home, you know, slap shots from on the power play. But where he's most effective is in front of the net, and that's where Boudreaux wants it. I mean, everywhere Bruce Boudreau has been, whether it be Washington or Anaheim, he's had power forwards. And that's something that, you know, you look up and down Minnesota's lineup, they don't have a lot of that. Well, Charlie Coyle is one. And he's really harnessing that role that Boudreau wants him to be. He has 12 goals this season. Two-thirds of those have been just, you know, clean up around the crease, which is something that he's getting good position. It's not by accident that he's seen an uptick this year. Boudreau's really pounded that home to him, and he's seeing the results, and you're just seeing the confidence grow in this kid. And 24 years old, certainly sky limit for him.
Looking at the Charlie Coyle, who was, of course, part of the whole Brent Burns trade many years ago, and, you know, people have kind of been waiting for him. What do you – like, is Coyle ever going to be a dominant top-line player, or is he just a really good – first line or maybe second line player? Like, where do you think Coyle can go long term as a player in Minnesota?
I think he can be that dominant first line winger player that you kind of need on a top team. And if you could find a sniper along the way to kind of pair along with him, you know, he needs to get better at winning those board battles. He doesn't look always extremely comfortable going one-on-one deep in the zone, but when he's on, and it's, that's another thing. Consistency with him has been something. But if he can put it all together with his size and his skill, I really do think he can be, you know, a top line center for, or a top line forward for the Minnesota Wild. Obviously, Brent Burns on the other end is one of the best defensemen, if not the best defenseman in the league. So the Sharks would do that trade 10 times out of 10, but certainly not a shabby consolation to have Charlie Coyle, only 24 years old, and certainly rising up for the Wild.
One guy I want to touch on as well, Dane, Ryan Suter. When you sign a long-term contract for that much dough, there's always a lot of attention. Ryan Suter just keeps wheeling out there for killing minutes. You know, he's a constant back there. He plays half the game. Makes a lot of money, but, man, I don't see this Minnesota club near as good without being able to lean on him back there.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, that's what Scott Stevens said coming in this year. Mm-hmm. You know, Bruce Boudreau has given Scott Stevens pretty much carte blanche with the blue line. He can do with it what he wants. And he said early in the year he's going to lean a lot on Ryan Suter. And he should, because at 32 years old, I mean, this guy doesn't look to be slowing down. If anything, he's getting smarter, better. I don't know. He's just, you watch him play, he's so fluid with how he skates. And, you know, he can get into some trouble and then make a quick flick of the puck off the boards and be back in good position. His positioning on the ice is so seamless and good, mm-hmm. that, you know, I just think it breeds well for the rest of the guys watching him. I mean, you watch a guy like that play and try and emulate him. And even if you can't because he's so skilled, just watching the things he does in practice and trying to be, you know, even close to that, is something that's kind of stemmed up and down the lineup. But like you mentioned, he plays half the game, basically. His minutes are down a little bit. That's something that they wanted to kind of keep him fresh, hopefully for a stretch run. But, you know, when Boudreau needs responsible play late in the game, it's always Ryan Suter and his D partner, Garrett Spurgeon. I mean, that too, that combo as a top-line defensive pair is, I would argue, as good as any in the league in terms of just being defensive defensemen. I mean, you're not going to see – Suter's not going to put up crazy, you know, Brett Burns type of offensive numbers. But in terms of just being a shutdown guy that you can throw out against top lines and kind of line match that way, I don't think there's a better guy in the league.
Dave, one last one for you. Dave Mizutani joins us from the St. Paul Pioneer Press discussing the Wild. Now, the Wild, the only negative on their season will be the expansion draft unless they make a trade before it. But they got five really good defensemen, and I'm assuming they're going to protect four of them, leaving one exposed. Right now, today, if you had to submit your expansion list on the blue line, what are those top five? Who isn't in it?
Yeah, that's a tough one because they're so deep back there. But you'd want to hang on all of them if you could. I don't know, because you would say maybe Christian Poulin at the beginning of the year, but he's kind of someone who's really kind of coming into his own as a kind of a power defenseman for them. But I think at the end of the day, if you had to pick one right now, you might expose someone like Marco Scandella, just because guys like Matt Dumba have arguably better potential on the offensive end, and Jonas Brodin has been extremely solid and is still only 23. So I think maybe he's the odd man out here. But at the end of the day, whoever they do have to kind of expose, they have talent and enough depth back there to be able to replenish that, whoever it may be. I think probably Scott and Fletcher looking right now, but that can change daily.
Yeah.
Just with who's going to play. And I'm certainly not a bad problem to have enough depth to be able to fill in accordingly after. So
yeah, and
that's
I could
what I would say right now.
I could easily see them trying to move him, too, to get something rather than just lose him for nothing. So it'll be an interesting
Absolutely.
One to follow. We appreciate your time. All the best in the new year. We'll talk to you in 17.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.
That's Dave Mizutani joining us from the St. Paul Pioneer Press.